go over to Chris to talk about the forecast, which is a very good one.
Yeah, actually, conducive to just heading out and enjoying a day. Neighborhood weather net in East Brunswick, Churchill.
Hey, this is Sandy in the back. Can you call ground and see if we can get some more pillows and blankets?
The white zone is for immediate...
The meeting last night was great.
I'm sure he's thrilled.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin boarding. For all of our first-class passengers, please make their way over to gate 17.
Good morning,
hey.
Sir. You just made it. 4D?
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, looks like we've run into a little bit of rush hour traffic this morning. Unfortunately, it's going to be about a 30-minute delay. I appreciate your patience. We're currently number one for departure. Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff, please.
I'd like to be home with my babies.
United 93, runway 4 left, clear for takeoff.
Roger that.
Sir, CNN's reporting a light civil aircraft has just hit the World Trade Center.
Man, that's a lot of smoke.
We got another one.
We got another hijack?
United 175 dropped his transponder off.
We got a possible hijack. Weapons. Scramble those fighters in over Manhattan.
Copy that.
We've reached our cruising altitude of 35,000 feet, and I'm going to turn the fasten seatbelt sign off. You are safe to move about the cabin.
Descending rapidly.
This aircraft is going down, I'm telling you right now.
Here's one with juice for you.
No, there he is. There he is right there.
Okay, we're up to Hudson River.
This is a hijack. He's going to hit this guy.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Streaming is the way of the future, though, Z. That's why you know that.
It is. No more. I mean, video on demand is huge.
I'm telling you, man, you do not need cable no more. I'm telling you. Oh, that's what I wanted to bring up. I remember I told you about that. I said I had something to talk about, but I don't think I wanted to talk about it on air, though. So, but it was something I wanted to tell you about where I was just like, yeah, I guess the VOD really is rising because a certain studio lost some money to VOD and a lot of money too in a year. And it wasn't
was
the
it DC?
It was a TV network, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember. I can't remember the full story. I have it all down. Whatever. But
TV
I'm
network.
TV there, so I remember it.
Popular TV network.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Lost money, losing money to. It went up this year, whatever that it lost. And it was a lot of fun. I ain't talking on small crumbs neither. I'm talking about like, well, I'll be goddamn. I guess VOD really is pushing the ways and moving movements here now.
No.
Which I'm not shocked by.
I'm trying.
I guess I am kind of shocked that it's moving so quickly, but I'm not shocked by it because it is cheaper than cable to be the exact.
I'm trying to think what station, because I have video on demand for all the stations, the big stations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what one got hurt by it.
I'm trying to look it up right now. Okay. I do remember it now. So, because I wrote it down on my phone. That's how I take notes, people. There's a note section on Yahoo. Wrote it down right there. I'm looking at it right now, whatever. It says, had a meeting today. It's like a day-to-day note section on my fucking... so brush teeth, check over. It talked about how AMC... You know what? This is not the network. This is a theater chain, people.
Oh.
AMC profits have declined by 49% because of the home market. Meaning, by 49%, they lost $30 million this year.
Jesus. That's enough to put someone out of business.
It is. But can you imagine? Because I don't know how it is for theater chains, which AMC, and AMC is huge. That's probably the biggest theater chain in every city, if I'm not mistaken. If they don't have, like, their signature.
We don't have one.
There's always an AMC around.
We don't have an AMC around here.
You don't have an AMC around
we
there?
We have, Cinemark.
Right? I'm sure you got one out there, right?
We have Cinemark.
Cinemark, okay. Well, AMC is a huge Cinemark, a chain theater. And to put that where it's losing profits, 39% to the home market, that's pretty huge. Now imagine if that doubled by next year.
Mm-hmm. That'd be terrible for them.
We'd be slowly, very slowly, seeing the theaters start holding back. Or raising prices, for that matter. I don't know what they would do in that thing, so...
Well, who comes up with the price range on theaters? Is it the theaters itself?
I would assume so, yeah, because every theater is different.
Because studios don't have a say. Do they have a say in how much they charge tickets?
No, they don't have a say in the charge ticket. Matter of fact, theaters don't even make money off the tickets they claim to say. They said they make money off the snacks and shit. That's why snacks are so high.
So, I mean, studios probably make it on the prices, and they'll just raise it on the concessions.
Well, because you got to think, too, the studio wants their movies to play in this amount of theaters, so they have to have it playing here.
Yeah.
So, if anything, it doesn't really seem like the theater is losing money.
No, I doubt it.
But think about it this way, though. If studios are going to the home market instead of going to theaters, then they're losing money.
Yeah.
We've seen a couple of movies this year that I've even said have went straight to VOD, Netflix, or home market, or whatever it is, and made, and had a nice, I ain't gonna say gargantuan views and stuff like that, but they had a nice profit off of it.
Mm-hmm.
The recent success of that was Snowpiercer.
That was in a limited, right?
Yeah, very limited release film, but it was released on VOD for everyone. And it made almost more money than it. I mean, when people were buying it, more money off of VOD than it did in theaters.
Well, I think Snowpiercer, if it's a limited release, you're not going to get major promotions on that around the country. And if you're just on video on demand and you see a movie called Snowpiercer, freaking look up on YouTube, look at the trailer, and then bam.
They have been, in major cities, they've been marketing that shit pretty well, I gotta say.
Well, yeah, Snowpiercer didn't even play here.
Yeah, exactly. They've been marketing this shit. I've seen a couple of previews and things like that, whatever. And plus, Rotten Tomatoes is far from telling you, hey, certified fresh, go see this shit, whatever. It's always in the paper and shit like that, right on the cover of the articles and shit like that, so... I wouldn't be shocked if some of those people were like, I'm just going to chill at home today. I ain't going to do shit today. I'm going to look up on my TV. Oh, Snowpiercer. Oh, is that movie I saw the other day? You kept telling me it's so good. I got to see it. Whatever. And it's got that dude, Captain America, in there. So, yeah, you know what?
And isn't that one of the highest certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes?
No, there's another movie. Actually, it was a Boyhood. That one has certified.
I think that came out. I think that came out this week.
Yeah, it came out, I saw it, I think 2 weeks ago, what I was saying. It's a really good movie, actually.
The previews look good, yeah.
Yeah, it really is a good movie. But, I don't know, I'm very interested in this. I've been talking a lot about this with Cody on Movie Spoilers or whatever and shit. I'm very interested in this because I wouldn't mind if the theaters kind of slowed down and more of it came to home video. Like the next Marvel movie or anything like that, I would want to watch that at home and see how my preferences would be seeing it on my screen compared to the big screen.
Uh-huh. They should do that for a lower, for not the lower superheroes.
They are doing that with Daredevil. So that'll be straight on Netflix or whatever. So yeah, I mean, because me personally, someone that does go, I don't know how everybody, I can't really make this comparison for everybody else, but someone that goes to the theater every goddamn week, I'm tired of the fucking theater. I can tell you that. I'm so fucking tired of the theater. And then you gotta worry about if you're running late to a screener, and are they gonna have food there? And if they do have food, is it gonna be the food you really want? Because I usually be hungry as fuck, and I find myself buying those nasty ass goddamn snacks that they have there and shit, and I just go man, that was unsatisfying like a motherfucker. So, I don't know. I think I'm preferring the home market
more. Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, I'm just afraid how much they'll charge.
But I'm assuming the same price as usual.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, see, the thing is with the home market is they have streaming services for that. You pay a monthly fee and you can get it.
I think that'd be a good way for studios, for lower studios that don't, you know, they set out a movie and stuff, and say the movie does not going to make money in the theater. Why don't you just sign to do a streaming service and just do something like that?
Because I saw Snowpiercer. I saw it in theaters, but because I didn't know it was on Amazon Prime. I have Amazon Prime. I saw it on my VOD service I have with Prime and whatever, and I didn't. I pay a subscription fee for it, so for me it was free.
Okay.
So that's how usually the streaming thing, or the streaming of things, works. Sometimes you do have to pay the $7, sometimes you don't, whatever. And I didn't pay shit for it, so.
Well, like,
I know if you don't have that subscription fee, then you'll be paying the $7.
And I think the success of Netflix's shows like Orange is the New Black and Arrested Development and stuff like that, I think that's, especially with awards, especially with House of Cards getting nominated for like every award. I think people are, like, a lot of studios might be thinking, oh, maybe this could be the way to go.
Yeah, another thing about that, too, is why it's a good thing is because we all know when a filmmaker has an idea, he has to get it distributed, and he has to take it to a major studio. Once you take it to that major studio, the major studio owns it now, so they can get rid of you if they want to. But with something like streaming services like Netflix and stuff like that, you still have rights to that property because they don't own the movie.
Yeah.
So I think another thing is what more filmmakers are looking at that as well, is that they get to keep their rights to that property.
Yeah.
And everyone will still see it because almost goddamn, how many people have Netflix now by this point? I mean, shit.
Oh, can you imagine if, say, like, just if in, like, a year or two, whatever, it goes through, imagine, like, say, Captain America 3 is just put on Netflix and not in theaters. Netflix might crash that day.
You know what? I could agree with you. You say start with a smaller thing, like with the small super. I want to see a big movie done that way, and I want to see what the reaction of that is. You know, I want to see it put in theaters and VOD / Netflix and shit like that, whatever streaming services you may have, whatever. And I want to see what the numbers are for that movie on the VOD services.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting concept, and I hope it would have, because, one, I can't go out to the theater as much. I mean, I haven't even seen Guardians yet, and that really pisses me off. But if it was streaming, hell yeah, I would have watched it by now. Probably would have just watched it twice.
Because you know what? You're watching it on your time.
Yeah, and I don't have to worry about, you know, traffic and,
Time is efficient for people. God damn it. Yeah, not have time to waste, sir. So
exactly. You see a movie. You see three movies probably a week at a theater. You got to deal with freaking idiots.
Yep.
Long lines.
Long lines. Food. Like you said, the idiots itself. Wherever the shit I don't like that I got to hear clapping and shit.
Talking. Cell phones.
I don't like going to the bathroom during a movie. I try my best not to go to the bathroom. I try to go before and then come right in or whatever. But sometimes those long ass movies, man, they be making me push this on. I'd be like, fuck, man, I gotta get. Oh, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that kind of irritates me or whatever. I think VOD has the substantial amount to winning that process because of just it's at your convenience.
It's just that what studio is gonna be ballsy enough to actually go exactly that route. I mean, there's a movie. I just watched a movie yesterday on VOD called All Cheerleaders Die. Pretty good movie. I'm not gonna lie. It was really fun movie. And you know, they follow me on Twitter and stuff, and I've talked with whoever runs their Twitter. I've talked to them before. And I was really happy I finally got to watch it because it was really good. And
you know, another thing too is there's a positive and a negative to this. The negative is studios probably won't take the chance because they realize by giving it to one of these subscription fees, such as Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, or whatever it is, and shit like that, they're not gonna really make any money back that subscription fee is. So, say Marvel went to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Or put it on Amazon. Amazon's gonna make the money, not Marvel, unless they break a contract deal or something like
that. Or what if this I'm just throwing this out there, it's probably never gonna happen. Disney buys Amazon.
Shit, you never I know you just saying you just thought it, you never know that might happen. When it comes to Disney, man, don't out count it yet, okay? Shit, that mouse probably listening right now. Don't say.
I mean, right now, Marvel's already going to be taking that over Netflix come what? Starting in January.
You know, the funny thing is, DC's not on Netflix no more, but Marvel is.
I noticed that DC Animation's not even on Netflix anymore.
No, just the Justice League cartoon.
Uh-huh.
So,
I wonder if...
They used to have all the DC movies on there, the animated ones and shit like that. They're all gone now. Because I was trying to watch Under the Red Hood, and I was like, it's on Netflix. Where the fuck is that? And then I tried to look up for another one, and I was like, it's not on here. They must have took all that out. But then I looked at the Marvel animation, all of their anime. I was like, god damn, all of it is on here now. Whatever. I was like, so, no. What did Warner Brothers do to piss Netflix?
Man of Steel.
They created it. But here's the positive of that, though. That negative of not making any money. Critics might be a little more easier on films seeing it at home.
Would you?
Because here's that thing. You always hear, and every critic you've always heard, this was a crappy movie, but it didn't piss me off. I probably would have enjoyed it if I watched it at home, maybe, or something like that. So think about that right there.
Would you?
I even say that sometimes.
What's the last movie you would have, if you would have watched at home?
You know what? Hercules. I actually like the movie. Well, actually, a lot of people like the movie coming out of it and stuff like that. But did I feel the need to go to the theater and say that? No, but I bet if more people would have saw that at home, they probably would have not only seen it more, but they probably would have been a little bit more easier on it as well, too.
Mm-hmm. But I hope it would happen. I think it will make lives a lot easier.
It really would.
It would. I mean, you can watch the movie on your set schedule. You don't have to run out to a thing and be like... I mean, seriously, if studios might be worried, sell advertisements.
Yeah, I was going to say that, or just do a contract deal with them to where you get half of the profits or something like that, 50% of the profits.
Exactly. I mean, I just watched Sharknado.
That's not to say take it out of theaters. That's not to say take it out of theaters. Put it in both markets.
Yeah, I just watched Sharknado the other day, too. You know how many fucking product placements was in that fucking movie?
I watched Man of Steel a year ago. You know any product placement?
Exactly.
Shit. I still see fucking Gillette commercials with that son of a bitch on them. So.
But I hope it happens.
There's a Gillette poster still with Superman on that shit by Sony over there. So, you know what? Damn, this is a side topic. Welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 61 of the Phenomenal on MoviePostPodcast.com.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com. And I kind of had a little rant I wanted to go on, too.
What was that?
I kind of had a little rant I wanted to go on.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, then. Well, I mean, we didn't fucking... Go ahead. Rant, man. What you got?
Well, if you can see, I posted the trailer for Night of the Living Dead on the Movie Spoilers fan page, Facebook page. And the amount of hate I'm getting from this movie is a joke.
Did you really?
Yeah. It'll be your other post. It'll be on the fan, not your personal, but on the Movie Spoilers fan page.
I didn't see it on my post, but then again, I don't really pay attention to my wall, so.
But the amount of hate I'm getting for this is freaking ridiculous. Because
You got numbers?
I got numbers. Shit, there's a website posted the trailer, and 98% of it was hate. Be like, oh, this looks like a low-budget movie. Yes. I mean, they're shitting on George Romero. No, I'm not, because...
Sorry, are you going to send me the link, man, so I can see?
Oh, the trailer?
No, you said you posted it on my phone. I can just go look back on my Facebook. But I've seen the trailer. I think I have seen the trailer. Never mind. I think I have seen it. I'm talking about on the website where it's...
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
The website where all that 90, whatever, 8% or 95%...
Oh, their Facebook page was even worse.
Oh, then send me that as well, then. I want to see all this. I like to be involved.
But it's in the hates on the comments on the YouTube page. Even the guy who played Johnny in the original Night of the Living Dead posted a comment, which I haven't approved, but he posted a comment, said, you know, filmmakers need to have their own vision and not steal off everyone else's ideas. I'm like, okay. It's just, yes, the movie's low budget, so was the original movie.
What I'm trying to get on that is they do realize this ain't the first remake ever, right?
Oh, this is like the fifth remake.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm talking about just, I ain't even talking about this movie, because there's been a lot of fucking remakes of this one. I'm talking about,
And some probably, you say fifth, probably more than that. We just don't know about it because a lot of indie directors out there. I was going to say the remake in period of movie history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at nowadays. How many fucking remakes are there? Like 7 a year, maybe more?
I was about to say probably more than that. Sometimes you don't even know it. Like Endless Love, did anybody know that was a remake?
Actually, I did.
Yeah, I kind of did too, whatever. But, you know, my co-Leo didn't know that. So, you know, hey. Or About Last Night, did anybody know that was a remake?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course we did.
It's just, you know, there is a scene with a girl in the movie that scene is not part of the movie. It's made for the trailer only, and they're thinking that's part of the movie.
You know how people are quick to judge trailers.
Yes, and I'm guilty for that too.
I know, which I gave you shit about as well.
But it doesn't bother me because I expected the hate because they're gonna watch it regardless.
We got a lot of comments on here though.
They're gonna watch the fucking movie.
Somebody says this is the fourth remake of this movie. This has to be a record beaten only by that movie Airplane was based on.
What?
He says, how many times has Dracula been remade? Nosferatu, Dracula, Spanish Dracula, or okay, goddamn, it's a lot of Dracula. Dracula Untold, just name a few. 3 movies in 12 months. Have you seen any of these films? I'm not familiar with him. I never heard of him until they tweeted me that trailer. Damn. You know, I haven't seen any hate yet. I mean, I just hear a lot of people just talking to each other. Let me see the trailer. Okay, here we go. Trailer's bad. Given the horror genre track record, the trailer usually being better than the movie itself. This doesn't bode well. Notice that. Oh, that must be me. That sounds like something I would say. I Brain Eater, a.k.a. The Phenomenal One.
There you go.
I didn't want to use my real name, apparently, whatever, because, yeah, he sounds like me. Good Lord, people, let's move on, shall we? Buddy. What the hell? Jesus, that trailer needs about a case of Viagra.
I didn't understand that
one. I'm confused now. Okay, hey, alright. I don't think anyone but family and friends here, but, only good version is the original. I'm not much a fan of 90s remakes, completely pointless. I'm looking for this one hate one that you keep talking about.
It was probably under Facebook. I'm gonna pull that up for you.
There are some long ones in here. I'm just not trying to read, but I'm trying to find the shorter ones, whatever, where they just like get to the point. But someone, hey, this even got caught. It says it doesn't look that great, but it must be better than Russo's Children of the Living Dead.
Yeah, but
Someone said, okay, I have some serious thoughts I hear about this. Am I happy that they're remaking Night of the Living Dead? No, because I really don't care. We have Romero's Night of the Living Dead. That's all that matters. I don't know if that's necessarily hate.
No, their Facebook's worse, but,
dude, is this your mom?
Yeah. I told her not to do it, and she did it anyway.
I was about to say, Mama, stay out of this, please. I'm telling you right now, the internet is full of assholes. You stay out of this.
It's trolls. That's all the internet's good for is trolls and porn.
Did you tell her to stay out of this?
Yes, I did.
Because you know damn well people are going to comment on that or whatever, and then it's going to be a backlash on her or whatever. Mama Z, you do not need to hear whatever people have got to say. I don't care if it's 1,000 hate comments or whatever. Please don't ever write in these forums. I'm going to tell you this right now. Best way. That's why you never see me write on anything. Whatever. You stay away from writing in these things, whatever, because especially if you're a family member of the world, because
contacted me and goes, do you want to make a statement about all the comments? That's what I talked to you about the other night.
Told me about that, yes.
And I'm like, go on. I just might let the movie speak for itself because the movie's actually pretty good. Script, you know, story-wise, it's pretty good.
Are you going to do it then?
I told him I'll request an interview. I haven't heard back from him yet.
Where are they from? Where are these guys from?
I think it's California.
Is it real?
I think so.
It's me.
You run another site? But the trailer, it's been out for about 9 days now, and it's got over 8,500 hits.
So, you know what I say you do? I'm telling you what to do, man. I already told you what to do. I say you go in there and you pull up Michael Bay. Michael Bay gave an interview the other day where actually people talking about how much they hate Michael. I actually respect Michael Bay now because of this. He got an interview the other day, and when they asked him why do you think people they hate Transformers, that the last one was so bad, it was your worst film ever and stuff like that. And he got on TV and said, basically he said, I don't give a fuck. Apparently people are still going to go see it because my movie is close to $1 billion. So what does that tell you then?
Yeah, but I can't say something like that.
But I'm telling you, you should be a dick because you could be like, my, that has 8,500 hits or whatever, so, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm just throwing it out there. You can be, I don't know, you never know. You know what? I will say this. Rather you get liked or hated on there, either way, it's publicity. Because you can be the most hated successful guy in the industry or the most lovable non-successful guy. Look at, I'll bring up a good name for you, Edgar Wright.
Yeah,
I can definitely bring up Edgar. Everybody loves his movies. All his movies are good. I will give you that. They're all great, or whatever. Matter of fact, critics love his movies. They don't ever make a goddamn thing in box office, though.
No, I think they don't. Did World's End even make $100 million domestically? World's End?
No, I don't think so.
Not domestically. Sean, I don't think Sean even broke 50.
Yeah, which is low for a zombie film. That just goes to show you, people don't get Edgar Wright, okay? So people don't go see it. His movies don't make it. So would you call him successful? No, not really.
He has a fan base.
He has a cult fan base. Yes, he's loved, but apparently that fan base ain't fucking enough to get his ass to go. I'm telling you right now, whatever, either he needs to get his shit together and start blowing the ball with some people, or studios ain't going to hire his ass. Because they're going to be like, you can't bring fucking $20 in. Why the hell we hire you?
Yeah.
So...
And this, it doesn't bother me. It kind of makes me a little concerned that...
And we can go to someone, well, we can go to someone like Michael Bay, though, who is hated by everyone and still makes $1 billion.
Yeah. But I think the biggest concern is that if people hate this movie, they're going to hate it regardless just due to the fact that it's a remake of the classic movie. If they're going to care about anything else I do in the future... You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. I just
but,
I know what you're saying. I'm sorry, I was looking at some girl. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, no, I'm not surprised. But, yeah, it's just that the trailer, I mean, how they're saying the trailer's low budget, I'm like, there's nothing shown in the trailer that's going to suggest even a budget. It was a minute 25. Who cares? And it wasn't even had color correction on it for editing. It was just... you know, spliced together. But.
Okay. Yeah, what are we talking about now? you should never send me links.
you're right, looking at the pictures.
You send me links, I get distracted. I'm like, what are we talking about? What's going on here? What are you talking about? Distraction? What is that? What's that called? Is that a movie? Alright, was that your rant, though?
Yeah, that's my rant. It's just that, you know, people need a fucking... Seeing a trailer is not the fucking movie.
I kind of told you that 2 weeks ago. Remember, you was bitching about Ninja Turtles.
I'm bitching about how they look. That's my biggest bitch.
Who gives a shit how they look?
I was the biggest turtle fan growing up.
Yeah, but you ain't seen the product yet.
Not yet.
Exactly. And this is coming from a guy, by the way, who does not like Michael Bay. Me.
He just produced it, right?
And I don't even give that trailer shit.
He just produced...
I haven't seen the fucking movie yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I've not seen the fucking movie yet, so I'm not going to give the trailer shit. For me, the trailer looks fucking fine.
But I was right on Godzilla, though.
Well, technically... right on Godzilla. Everybody else loved it. You know, I don't know if you remember that.
The movie was shit, though.
And it's not so much that you were right on Godzilla, it's just you knew the formula of those fucking movies. The formula of Godzilla, any monster creature, which we saw with Pacific Rim last year, and we'll see Godzilla this year. It's the same goddamn routine.
It is. They need to break out of that mold. It's the same routine. They need to break out of the mold.
You see about two appearances of the monster at the beginning and somewhere in the middle. There's a lot of human talking, a lot of human interaction that don't mean anything. And then at the end, it's a big battle.
And then you throw in another monster that's not even suggested in the trailer. Which, yeah, I don't know if that was a surprise or not, but...
If anyone predicted Godzilla great, it was probably me. Because I did say, I bet that they treat Godzilla like a sympathetic character at the end of the film, and they understand him. And sure enough... matter of fact, you know what? No, you know what? I take it back. I wasn't... Right, because they did that bigger than what I expected. They made a big ass poster board sign and said, "Godzilla, our savior of the city and shit, the hero and shit." He walked into the ocean, roaring into the yeah. I was just like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
Fuck this movie. this is a joke, right? How the hell could Godzilla not destroy a damn building in that whole city? Like seriously.
Yeah.
Whatever. We talk about 1993 right now. We went on for 30 minutes now, whatever. And I gotta say, this movie is fucking boring.
It's boring, but it's memorable due to the fact of the story behind it.
I don't even think it's memorable.
I think for the story behind it.
I don't even care about that.
Because everyone remembers.
I think a lot of people like this movie. I think a lot of critics and stuff will like this movie because of the subject that it touched on. But I mean, you watch, it's fucking boring. It is tedious and boring, and it really didn't make anything. That first, not even the first... appointment, it just continues to go on. There's a lot of goddamn talking about airplane shit that I don't have no idea what they're talking about. I'm sitting there looking at them goddamn green screens. They were looking at computers, and I'm just like, dude, I don't know any other language y'all talking right now, so this is not resonating with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, that's like the whole movie, too.
And it was fucking boring. I was like, man, I don't remember. Wow, this movie sucks.
It's probably the best well-made movie based on the subject. It's better, a lot better than World Trade Center.
Oh, okay, are you talking about the subject? Because I've seen documentaries that were better than this.
Well, yeah, of course documentaries are going to be better than this, but based on the subject matter of 9/11, this is the best one.
I still don't think it's that good, no.
Compared to World Trade Center, yeah.
It's supposed to be a movie, and you're supposed to feel something. I didn't feel nothing for nobody in this movie, because there was no main character. So I didn't feel nothing for nobody. It was just characters there and there and talking and shit like that. Even the guys in the background did not see. When they saw that plane crash in there, they were just like, holy shit, did the plane just crash? And I'm just like, man, their reaction time into that is like, you think they'd be on the ground crying or something like they're doing something, but they don't give a fuck. I was like, hey, this movie is shit.
Yeah. Like, everyone remembers... I think
if you want to go into the subject matter, the subject matter of it is fine and everything like that. That's fine. It's a tragic time in America. I get that, whatever. You know what's another tragic time that people tend not to give a shit about? It's called slavery. So I know you guys tried to write 12 years off a lot of people in Hollywood. Yeah, I know you tried to write that off, but it won Best Picture, you sons of bitches, whatever. So, I know you tried to write that off by saying, oh, it's too. You know, 9/11 isn't too preachy in this movie, but yet 12 Years a Slave is... why does it have to bring up that stuff? Whatever, it's like, oh, so when it's something against you people, we're not comfortable talking about it. But when it's against another country or something like that, we gonna blast their ass or whatever and put them on screen and shit like that. As a movie go, this shit is boring, tedious, and damn near insulting in some parts as well.
Insulting, huh?
Oh yeah, I was a little insulted. I was like, really? This dude has a fucking knife? Yeah, y'all know. Okay. I noticed there wasn't no niggas or no Mexicans on that plane because they would have looked at that and been like, man, that's an average day right there. That motherfucker just has a knife. It's 20 of y'all. It's fucking 20 of y'all. It should not take 2 hours for me to get to a point where they bomb rushed his ass.
I know.
I was so fucking bored watching this movie and shit. Girlfriend was playing Walking Dead on my iPad and shit like that. And I just glanced over there every now and then just look at her and shit because I was just like, she's like, you need to be watching the movie. I was like, this movie's fucking boring. I'm sorry.
But the subject matter, they're pretty much speculation on everything up until they bum rushed him at the end. Because no one's going to know what really happened up there.
No.
I mean...
They kept the president out of this completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so good that it kept the main man that was in, that was on this one out of this movie completely. Yeah.
But, like... I think this is... it wouldn't be... It's not patriotic.
No, there's nothing patriotic in here at all. Because those A-Rabs look white.
Michael Bay movies are more patriotic than this.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably are. That motherfucker... that motherfucker has an American flag and everything.
I think just... I think the let's say emotionally, at towards the end where they realize and what's going to happen with the plane that it's going to crash because they're talking, which I find unrealistic, but it really did happen. Is that they always found a way to communicate with someone on the outside, someone on the ground?
Yeah, and the terrorists, if they were, they wasn't doing a damn thing about that. To be honest, whatever. The best 9/11 movie. Me was Fahrenheit 9/11, and that was the one Michael Moore did, which was obviously with the documentary. Going back to that, that one had so much interesting facts and details in it, whatever, whether they were true or not. That kept my interest. In here, they're talking plane shit the whole movie.
Yeah, it's pretty much it's the logistics of
that plane. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's logistics of airline.
This
terms.
Movie reminded me of what that movie last year of Wikipedia was with Benedict Cumberbatch. What was it? Fifth Estate.
That was about Wikipedia?
It's got all these cool aspects about Wikipedia, all these cool stories and shit, and I'm just watching them just look at a computer screen, never talking about it the whole time. And here, all these interesting facts of 9/11 that could have these conspiracy theories and shit like that, and I'm looking at a goddamn screen of some blinking lights passing by each other. I'm like, okay, seriously, you decided to make a movie about 9/11, and this is the topic you choose to pick. And if you're going to do that, make me care about these people on this plane. I know you're trying to get some facts out there. And honestly, I think really Paul Greengrass wrote this and did this, whatever, just to get some sympathy factor out of people and shit like that. Because looking at this film, I was looking like, you do realize I'm watching a movie here. You need to make me care about some of these people on this plane. It's a sad fact that I care about them because of the incident. But as far as this movie go, I personally don't give a shit about nobody on this plane, to be honest. Especially when the guys that are hanging them up right now has a fake bomb that doesn't even look real, by the way, and a knife in their hand.
It wasn't a pocket knife. It was one of those utility knives.
It was a what knife?
A utility knife.
Look, yeah, exactly. It was a utility
knife. You got to hold the button up.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the film, there's so much talking, whatever. I never once captured what the fuck they were talking about.
It's
all these just Boston to LA, but the Boston flight. Where's Boston flight 95? Where's UPN 13? Where was that at?
UPN 13.
Yeah, where you pick a nigga 13? Where were you at? Warner Brothers Channel 5, CW5, whatever, where you at? They just talking all this shit. I'm just looking like, when are you going to make me care about something? And then their reactions, because the 9/11 planes crashing into the buildings, that happened so quick in the movie that was kind of overlooked in the film. It looked like he wanted to take you back to this plane specifically.
I think that's what they're aiming at, yeah.
Yeah, and once again, if you're going to do that, then make me give a shit about, do you even know any of the people's names off that plane?
Todd Beamer. That's the one I'm going to always remember.
Not the actor, the guy, the characters.
The kid, yeah, Todd Beamer, that's his real name.
No, I'm not talking about the actor. I'm talking about his character name that he had in the movie.
Yes, Todd Beamer.
Todd Beamer, that's his real name.
That's the guy, he was one of the leaders, he was one of the passengers who actually attacked the terrorist. I'll always remember that name.
Call that attacking the terrorist? I don't know what the hell to be honest.
A bum rush. There you go.
Man, you white people, I swear, shit. Just fucking boot his ass and shit like that. He has a fucking pocket knife. Let's be real. Come on, man. Shit. He has a fucking pocket knife. You don't give two shits about nobody on this fucking plane. You don't even care about the terrorists because their plane looks so, it looks so silly and cartoonish. You just like, really? That was a, okay. Wow, our security must have really fucking sucked back then.
I think I actually never, have you ever flown before 9/11?
Yeah.
How was the security? I never have. How was security?
I mean, it's not as strict as it now is, but it's the same procedure you go through, you know? Now it's just strict.
Yeah, and there is like really loosey, like very loose.
They didn't even show you the fucking security procedure. They just walked through the gate fine or whatever. I mean, like, that's the thing. They don't show you shit. There's never no tension of these guys getting the shit they got on there or whatever. They're just sweating the whole movie for no fucking reason. You just like, well, you barely showed me that shit. So now and once again, it goes back to, I understand what the movie's about. It's obviously about what this plane initially did. But once again, there's nobody on this plane that I know, and you're not giving me enough story by flashing forward back to them and them and this person here and them just trying to save a guy that got stabbed or whatever. I'm just like, yeah, this looks like consequences with no reactions to them, and I have no character story or development between these characters. You don't like these characters. You don't hate them. You don't just know anything about them to give a shit. They're just people that's caught in the wrong place, wrong time.
It was kind of just the characters were, I mean, you're not going to get any background or character development in this movie.
No, you didn't. Which, personally, you should.
A little more feel for the passengers.
Yeah, you should. You should be feeling as if I was in this position, what would I do or something like that. And I never once got that because I it's like, I know what you should do. You should just bum rush his ass or whatever and shit. I mean, there's nothing to it. He has a fucking pocket knife and he's just he's running back and forth down the aisle so crazily that he's not calm at all. I mean, he's stressing out about this. I hear people crying in the background. I was like, oh, yeah, I can see people crying and stuff, but like, don't count your Easter eggs out yet. You guys, I hate to say this, but maybe if you guys would have bum rushed him before 5 minutes the plane was going down, then maybe, you know, that plane probably wouldn't have went down like that, but.
I think the plane would have gone down regardless.
Well, they said they had that pilot on board.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And they had bum-rushed them, like, right when they were low on the ground, like, when they were talking about, oh, we're getting lower or whatever. I was just like, well, maybe I should have thought about this earlier. I mean, so, and but, I'm sorry to say that. I hate to say that as well, but I'm talking mainly about this movie. I thought the movie did a horrible job of playing any kind of emotion whatsoever. I didn't think there was any. I think Paul Greengrass really was riding off this, the fact that 9/11 happened, people are still sobbing over it. Let me make this. I don't have to really put a story together or anything like that. I can just make up some shit and just put a bunch of boring plain shit in there. People will like it because it touches that sensitive subject.
Yeah, that's why I said a lot of that stuff, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what happened on board until they bum rushed. Mm-hmm. Cause they found that out from the black box.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened in that whole, let's see, the plane, what took off, what, about 15, 20 minutes into the movie? And then they crashed, 5 minutes left, 10 minutes left, whatever. You don't know what happened in that time span.
No.
So, yeah, you could put together a fucking movie in the mix of that.
And it glanced so quickly over the bombing into the Trade Center things, where I was just like,
it seemed second nature.
Yeah, it really did. I was like, that got overlooked like a motherfucker. That was I could have sworn that was a, I'm not saying this movie had to be big, but this movie is 2 hours long. It's a 2-hour movie, and I didn't feel like I got anything, whatever. You could have easily did half and half with the World Trade Center and then worked his way up to that last plane that's going on. They could have made that. It seemed like none of the other characters in this movie, neither, that were like behind the scenes, gave two shits about the Trade Center at all. Because as much as they were running around, rushing, and calling all these other people and stuff like that, the biggest reaction I saw was somebody just puts their hands over their head and go, oh, shit. I'm like, that explosion is big. That explosion is big. Look at it. There's smoke coming from it. I'm just like, I was a kid at the time when that happened, but I remember people's reaction to that when I was at school. People was looking sad as shit. And I'm talking about kids and even my teachers and shit was looking down. I'm like, and I didn't think anybody's reaction here was justified to what that day did to people. I thought this movie portrayed a lot of bullshit ass reason. I really thought Paul Greengrass was cash grabbing off of that.
Oh, you're talking about the day of 9/11.
Yeah, I'm talking about the day of 9/11 and how people really reacted to that. Cause I remember, and this is a person that lived in California. And mind you, when this happened, I looked at it when I saw it on the news and just thought of it as another incident. I didn't, because I was a kid. I didn't know no better. I was like fucking 11 years old. I didn't know no better. I was just like, oh, it's an incident that happened. I'm sad for it. But I got to school that day. Teachers was telling me how sad they were and stuff, and how this is going to change the our country and stuff like that. Stuff is going to go down after this now. We're going to have to sell this. And in this movie, I never once got that feeling that nobody, all the people in this movie had that same look on their face as I did. It's just like, oh, it's just another incident that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, 9/11 is one of those days that you'll never forget what you did that day.
Yeah.
It's like, I think people that lived in Kennedy assassination, Pearl Harbor, and 9/11 are the three probably biggest tragedies probably from in the country that people are still alive for.
Yeah, I'm about to say, because slavery is the biggest.
But no one's alive. No one's alive back then.
Well, some people are, actually. Yeah, you'd be shocked by that. Actually, when 12 Years a Slave came out, there was a girl who was alive, and she actually cried with Steve McQueen and telling her about her slaves and stuff like that. Right?
So, oh, okay. Yeah,
you'd be shocked by that. Some people are. You know why? Nobody, you don't never hear about that? It's because white people try to hide that shit.
Yeah, they do. I agree with you on that, but I'm kind of with you when I first heard the top, because I was just chilling after work, at you know, talking to my manager and stuff, and someone said a plane crashed the Trade Center. I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate. You know, it sucks. And then you hear more and more, and be like, holy shit. You know, you really think the worst was gonna happen.
Yeah.
And the country really, I would say, it really hasn't changed that much.
No. Well, niggas was accepted as people, finally, at that time.
Yeah. Now, we turned our attention to a new race.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys finally turned your attention to the Middle East people at that time, so I guess we're kind of thankful in a way for that one now. You found another brown people to fuck over, so yeah.
We're going to have a new slavery here soon.
But then about 5 years passed, you went right back to hating us. So.
Yeah, I mean, our country hasn't changed. I mean, this is my opinion. 9/11, yes, it was a very sad day. To watch that actually happen unfold, especially live on TV. Yeah. It was really sad. And I'll never forget that day. Like, you know, we never forget. But our country hasn't changed.
The only way our country has changed is by what we do with Afghanistan and the Middle East nowadays.
Yeah.
Which we are involved with their things a lot now, more than back then.
Yeah, and we have our own problems here in this country that are overlooked.
Just like this movie, we make them secondhand to caring about.
Yeah, and, I mean, this movie, it wasn't bad, but I won't say it's great, as people say, because I'm looking at it right now. It was on a lot of number ones.
Yeah, top 10 list. Why I was bringing it up, because I was like, all these people that told me how much they loved this movie, how great it was. It's like one of the most inspirational movies of all time and shit like that. And like you said, it's on number one best list and shit like that. And I'm looking at it like, this looked like some cash grab shit.
This was 5 years, almost 5 years from the 9/11. People were like, because I brought up this question probably like a week or two after the fact. And I'm like, Hollywood's going to cash in on this quickly. And I don't know which came out first, if this movie or World Trade Center.
I think this one came out first, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, what Trade Center had actually a legitimate cast with Cage and...
Yeah, well, I don't know how legitimate that is.
But Oliver Stone, there you go.
The one that got the most talk about was the Michael Moore one, because his was the controversial one where he was just putting out Bush and all of them. He was the one that actually went into why the president shouldn't have been involved and shit like that, whatever. And that was the most controversial one, because it wasn't this. It wasn't United 93. It wasn't a film about trying to. It was actually a film going into the facts about it and shit like that. I remember all the politicians used to talk about that movie and shit and talk about, well, the Democrats obviously were for it and the Republicans were against it and shit like that. But I remember that movie a lot. I think that one left the biggest impact on what it was, because a lot of people at that time hated Michael Moore for even making that fucking movie when it came out. And I was remembering, like, shit, he brought up some shit I didn't even know about, to be honest, in here. I was like, where did he get these fucking facts from? Shit.
Yeah.
And in here, I didn't learn a goddamn thing from this movie. I didn't learn a damn thing. And I know a lot of people's like, oh, but do you gotta learn something from a film? If it's about this subject, then yes.
I mean, what are you really going to learn? How to bum-rush freaking terrorists?
Yeah, exactly. Am I going to learn that? Or if I'm not going to learn anything, then should I be feeling emotional with these people to see what it's like to be in that position? Then yes. Did I get it? No. So what exactly was the purpose of this film other than cash grab? Because he's not telling a story here. What's the story that's to be told here?
I mean, are you supposed to... I mean, I would say the only emotional aspect of this movie is that when the passengers were talking to their moms, wives, husbands, stuff like that at the time.
They glanced over that so quickly.
Yes, you're exactly right. That was pretty much a third nature to the movie, too. And that was the most character development you got from anyone.
So
that's why, because there was the fat lady crying. She's like, you want to use my phone to call it? And then it just goes to another person or whatever. So it's like the movie is almost doing a job of trying to make me not feel anything for these people or whatever. I want to hear their phone calls talking to people. And then the phone calls you do hear, which is like one of the main guys and stuff, he's just talking about what's going on the plane and shit like that. It's like, I can see that. I don't... Tell me how much... Tell that woman how, or whoever you're talking to how much you love them and what's going on or whatever and mm-hmm. shit like that. I want to hear some emotion like that and shit like that. Because that's what people would do. They're not going to tell you like, oh, he's walking back. Look, I'm going to rush him and kill the pilots or whatever. It's like, I can see that. I don't need you to tell me that. I thought the movie was doing a really hard job of trying to just distinguish you away from the audience.
It tried to do too much in a very long time.
Well, what is the story of this? That's what I'm trying to get out of it. Like, what was Paul Greengrass trying to tell us in this movie?
I really don't think he was trying to tell a story. I think he was just trying to get us emotionally involved into the passengers. That's my only thing I could take away from this.
But
it didn't work.
That's the thing, too. You don't feel shit for these passengers because you don't do shit with them.
No, but it is an emotion for me. It is an emotional movie due to the fact of that day, because I really took that day really hard. Because I
see,
did.
Your emotion comes from that incident, not the movie itself.
It is, so but
when you watch the movie, you're thinking about that emotion, whatever. And
that's probably true.
I made
yeah.
my cash grab. See that? Because he knows exactly what the fuck he's doing making this movie. By it's not adding something. I'll make comparison. 12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave. Slavery is a horrible incident, whatever. But we've seen many slavery movies that have been shit. Especially last year as well, whatever. That's been shit where it gets people like, okay, this is good. But 12 Years a Slave actually had a story to tell in there where it made you not only feel for slavery, but feel for this guy that was caught in this incident. In this movie, you don't feel shit. And every time someone says they does feel something, it's good. They go by because I just remember that day or whatever. And it's just like, okay, so this is some counter-programming here then where this guy and Paul Greengrass made and wrote this movie just because it'll help you remember this incident that happened. And so you can feel bad for it, because not just because you think it's a good movie, but because you think that incident was horrible.
You know what?
I think that's bullshit.
You also, I might be overstating this, but the way Greengrass directed this, with yeah. the edits and stuff, I think he was trying to get you to have a little bit of emotional connection with the terrorists as well.
I guess, to be honest, I don't know, because I didn't get anything from anybody in this movie. I mean, I'm not going to discredit your statement there either. I could go along with it, I can't go along with it, but I personally, I don't know, because I didn't feel anything for nobody or felt sorry for him, whatever. I thought this was one of Greengrass' worst movies. People saying this is his best movie. I was like, I thought this was horrible.
No, Captain Phillips is probably his best movie.
Yeah, Captain Phillips was fucking amazing, whatever. And you actually feel for, like you said, you want to care about the terrorists in here? I care more about them goddamn Somalian pirates than I did these fucking terrorists in this movie. And I really think the success of this movie was riding off that tragedy incident, which I think Paul Greengrass can go fuck himself then if he's getting a cash paycheck
yeah.
off of some fucking incident like that. I can tell you right now, he definitely ain't telling no fucking story in this movie.
No, and I kind of do wish they had, because you had the two main people, or three main passengers, Tom Burnett, Todd Beamer, and Jeremy Glick, who are, I think, because they led the revolution against terrorists, that there's your three characters right there. And yeah. they didn't do that, because they went to pretty much every single passenger of the movie, in the plane, I mean. And it took you away.
Even the stewardess. They had a lot of screen time, and they didn't really, every dialogue they had, it was just like, it's not meaningful, it's not adding to this or whatever, it's just like, everybody's just there.
Yeah. Maybe it seems rushed, this movie. Who is the studio? Universal distributed it. They probably were like, we gotta make this movie, quickly, so go. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, cash grab.
It is, and that's why it took about 40, 50, almost 50 years before a Pearl Harbor movie came out? And JFK, about 40 years, too? It's because Hollywood wants, if something happened tomorrow, Hollywood make a movie in a fucking year. I guarantee it.
Oh, hell yeah. That's how it goes or whatever. Every incident that happens, we've seen a movie about it. I don't give a damn how small or little it is. We've seen a movie. One of my favorite movies that I had on my best of list last year was a Blue Caprice about the DC shootings and shit like that.
Yeah. Small, I think that's the only one, isn't it?
What was that?
Is that the only movie about the sniper?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah, it is. And that movie adds so much, because obviously, once again, like Z said earlier, we don't know any of the facts, the details, whatever. But then again, I'm watching a movie here. So, rather you're going to lie or tell me the truth, embellish me with a story here and stuff. That movie had so much characterization between that boy and Isaiah Washington there, where you was just like, wow, this is what went down, whatever, in your mind. You entertained me in here. And in here, I never once felt as... And entertaining doesn't mean I have to be happy and joyful or whatever. I mean, entertaining is like I have to feel something. Something has to be felt here or whatever. And once watching this movie, I didn't feel anything. I was literally bored out of my fucking mind, to be honest, watching this. I was just like...
It drags on.
There's a lot of fucking talking about these goddamn planes or whatever. I swear to God, there's a lot of American Airlines 11. American Airlines 11, where are you? I'm not getting a response here. Call NYPD or something like that. Tell them, I hate to say this, but maybe it would have been nicer if they would have just showed the towers going down and people, how they escaped from the building or running or whatever and stuff like that. Then maybe I would have started feeling a little bit more. But that whole, this whole plane incident thing, I didn't feel a damn thing. As a matter of fact, in that movie Flight with Denzel Washington, I think I got more out of the stewardess in that movie. I remember there was a scene where Denzel asked for help from one of the stewardess, and he was just like, what's your son's name? And she told him Trevor or whatever, and he was just like, I want you to tell, talking to the microphone right there, and I want you to tell Trevor, you're going to make it home safely, I love you, and we're going to get you out of this, whatever. I was like, that one scene right there, I already got a concept that she has a son, and this is mainly why she's devastated right here or whatever shit. You don't have to show a lot, but you have to give me something. And here, like you said, they make it so secondary that they flash forward over it just to listen to everybody that you personally just don't care about nobody.
Yeah, that was like I 100% agree with you. The emotional aspect was there, but they missed it. Because why? They spent too less of time on the characters.
There's a lot of emotion.
That scene you just said with Flight. I love Flight. Flight was a very underrated movie that didn't get the recognition it deserved.
Well, it got nominated.
It got nominated, but I thought it could have been a lot. Well, money-wise.
It made its money and then some, though.
Did it?
I mean, it made over $100 million.
But it's not talked about as much.
Yeah.
I loved Flight. It was a great movie. It was probably one of Denzel's best movies. He did. And you just brought up a very key scene with the flight attendant. That scene took 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was more powerful with the stewardess than anything with this, because they went too fast.
There's even the scene, I mean, the stewardess that he slept with or whatever, and knew all the stuff, even her, when she saved that boy that fell out of the seat and stuff like that. I mean, in 1993, there wasn't as many passengers as it was in Flight.
No, this was, what did you say, about 50 passengers, 75 passengers?
Oh, was it really? It didn't even look like that many.
By
the time they all got in the back, I was just looking at them like, damn, it looked like it could be 20 people on that flight. Oh, I think it was 50, though, if I'm not mistaken.
33 people, including the hijackers.
Okay. Alright, 33 people and all these hijackers.
Well, Flight was a jumbo jet, wasn't it?
Hell yeah, it looked like it.
I think it was a 747. But he just, Greengrass, you know, he's a good director. You know, I have a lot of fun watching the Bourne movies, but, he completely whiffed on this. I don't think there's any thought put in this movie.
Captain Phillips is one of my, once again, was on my best of it. It was a great movie or whatever. And characterization is something he knows. And to see this compared to something like Captain Phillips or even the first Bourne movie or anything like that, you go like, God damn, dude, did you really need that paycheck?
No, I don't think he did.
Or were you really trying to get an Oscar this year?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, exactly, because it looked like he really was heading for that. I like how they put in this movie in the genre action. What action?
What?
Where the fuck was the action at?
it would be more drama. Or where's the drama?
Yeah, I was gonna say, but drama from who though? Because there's never no conflict inner.
We
inner
this is
between any characters.
This is the same thing of Titanic. We know the result. They can do anything on board. We're never gonna know the truth. That's why this is a fiction. This is true story based on true events, but a fictional movie.
And see, the thing about Titanic is, yeah, we know the events of that, but make me go along with this story of that event or whatever. Make me see how that event happened. And Titanic had Leonardo DiCaprio backing it up. Titanic wasn't a movie. Well, it was two movies, to be the exact remember. It was a movie about building this love interest up to make you actually care about these characters. And then when it got to the part of how Titanic sinks, then it shows you that, whatever. And then it shows you between these two how they're going to survive through this or try to survive and why they should survive it. It's because they really love each other. There's your story right there. But in here, there's no characters to follow or anything like that to make you care about it. And it looked half-assed. I'm sorry. I don't care what people say. This movie was half-assed. I feel for the 9/11 incident, but watching this movie had no effect on me as far as my feelings towards 9/11. This movie didn't hit me emotionally. It didn't make me... I didn't learn anything, partially, of what I didn't know about... I just learned a bunch of plane shit. It emotionally didn't make me learn anything. I didn't know, find out anything new. I just found out by watching the movie that the terrorist attacked us with two butter knives.
I should not be laughing at that, but
I shouldn't be laughing at that too. But that's what Paul Greengrass made you people like, and apparently you liked it enough because the terrorists were unorganized sons of bitches. And I'm not even going to say the word Middle Eastern because I find it to be bullshit that we attack them and call every one of them terrorists or whatever. I'm just going to keep saying terrorists. And to me, I don't know. Sometimes movie it was a little insulting.
Yeah, I mean, you said it earlier that about how my emotional connection to the movie is probably based on the day. And
I think that's where everybody's emotion to this movie came from.
That's probably why people like it.
Which I can understand that, too. I completely understand that. Whenever I see one of them slavery movies, I have a connection to it, whatever, because that's my ancestors and people and shit like that. But I can definitely tell you some bullshit-ass slavery movies, whatever. I just cash grabbing off a movie, whatever, and I can tell when a good one here. And this is not good. This is not good at all, whatever. If it had been a documentary, it could be fine, whatever. But he made this to be a live-action film, released in theaters and shit like that. And there's nothing here. It offers nothing.
This really, really seemed like a TV movie.
It did. I didn't think it offered it. My fiance never seen the movie or whatever, and she was playing the Walking Dead game, and she was like, is this a movie about 9/11? I should watch it. I want to watch it. And I looked at her and was just like, you don't need to watch it. Keep playing that game right now. You don't need to.
There's more drama in the Walking Dead game.
It really was, and shit like that. We can keep bringing up these incidents that happened that weren't real, that might have happened. Okay, another one, all right. I'm going to bring up another incident, the Fruitvale Station film.
Yeah.
You learn so much about that character that Mike B. Jordan played. Whether we know that happened or not, whatever, you still feel for him when that incident comes in here. Mm-hmm. 12 Years a Slave, the same thing. You brought up Titanic, which is another one. Do you not care about Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie? Rather, you think it's too sappy for a man or not? Do you not think he's a likable guy or whatever and shit? And you can see why they tried to save each other throughout this whole tragic event? You feel for these people, whatever. In this movie, you don't feel for nobody.
No.
I can't believe Paul Greengrass would even make these people in his playing secondary, or even the World Trade Center secondary, third tier and shit like that. I personally don't even know what his main focus on the movie was. Was it really about people just talking about planes?
Was he working with the airlines?
Yeah, does he have a deal with the airlines or something like that? Because I think you get more conversation out of that than you do anything.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, what do you give the movie then?
This is tough because we made so many points on it.
Does it change your opinion of how you feel about the movie?
No. No, I've always had this like in the back of my head. I think the day overwhelmed my passionate view of it, of the movie. I probably have to get two and a half stars out of five.
That's why we do Throwback Tuesday. We relive old movies to see if we still like them.
Because I never thought about it until you said it that my emotional connection with the movie was based on the day. I mean, it's not a downright terrible movie. It's not, in my opinion. But I really wish there was more character development with at least the three main passengers that are names Burnett, Beamer, and Glick, at least one of them, you know, not focus on the whole 20-plus passengers.
Even the terrorists, too, for that matter.
They get lost in the shuffle. There's too many characters.
Even the terrorists, though. You could have made them sympathetic.
And and if the movie was focused straightly on the plane, stop with this bullshit on the ground at the command center.
Oh, yeah.
It probably would have been a lot better. You probably would have had more character development if they got rid of the bullshit on the ground. Because, yeah, throw that in there maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But don't focus the first, first half of the movie on that.
Like, literally, like, I think the last 20 minutes is when we see just nothing but the plane stuff.
I mean, this ain't the movie fucking, this ain't Airplane.
Same planes with Dan Cook, the animated version.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
so I'm just saying. I agree completely. I think they focus too much time on the ground. And the only part of the ground you probably should see is when it attacked the World Trade Center. If they really was making that scene, yeah. They should have showed that scene, got back on there, and then on the phone or whatever. They should have... And you know what? They should have did something with the terrorists. They made the terrorists. They could have been this way for all I know, whatever. They were some second-tier people as well. And I didn't get nothing from these guys or whatever.
And they shouldn't have been.
Yeah, because you know what? Whether it's real or not, we're making a movie here. Make me feel emotional.
It's like Greengrass pulled this story out of fucking thin air and be like, we're going to focus on this, but we don't know if this is true or not.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's insulting to the terrorist parts for that matter or whatever, but then again, I don't want to, I think I'm treading water here. I don't know if that's insulting there, but I want to say that at least give them some kind of motivation of why they did this. Because, number one, you're making a movie here. I need to know why.
Yeah, I still don't think we know why.
No, we still don't know why. Because Bush did it, that's why. No, I'm telling
you. But it's worth a watch to at least get to see a different side of the day.
Oh, is it really? Oh, okay.
It's, I mean, watch it once.
Nah, I'm good. I don't need to watch it. Yeah, for me, I'm giving it a fuck.
Wow!
Yeah, I don't care what you say.
It's wow.
Watch. I don't even think it's worth that. It's not worth no watch or whatever. Because you know why? Because there's 20 other better movies in this right now.
Wow,
I didn't want to sit up there and you want to know the facts about 9/11. You can go to watch any of those 20 other movies that are better than this. This movie personally is the most insulting one I saw because this is a direct fucking cash grab off an incident that happened that has nothing to fucking do or anything like that. While I was talking about insulting, that's what insulted me with this fucking movie is that you don't know a goddamn thing about nothing or whatever. You don't feel any emotional beats. And it goes back to why people like it so much. It's just because they like it because of the actual incident that happened. They don't like it because of the movie. Because I can sit up here and point out plot point, whatever. Because you know what? There's no plot point. What is the actual story that Greengrass was trying to tell in this movie? The terrorists attacked us with knives. We had some phone calls on the plane where they got to call their family. They bum rushed them. And then the plane crashed. And everybody didn't give two shits about the World Trade Center going down because I'm just going by what your movie said because either your actors were horrible or you just really didn't give a shit about that because the way when those planes hit that building, the way people were reacting, I was just like, wow, this is some C-level acting shit right here that they doing. I've seen better emotion out of my teachers that day than I have from these people in this movie. They were reacting as if they just saw Optimus Prime fought Megatron or something like that.
And fly off into space?
Just flying off into space and shit like that. I don't think anybody's... I thought everybody was horrible in this movie. The direction on it was wise. I completely disagree with you. You need to see this once again. Once again, I go back to that. You don't have to see this again because this movie doesn't add nothing to
it. Well, if you've never seen it before...
No. There's some movies you don't have to see. And this is definitely one of them. That's why this movie don't get talked about no more. Because I'm wondering if people actually realize that... Don't nobody give a fuck about it.
If you want to watch a lot more better, interesting stuff, just wait for the day 9/11 when it's constant news and they're showing everything.
I was going to say, or just watch Michael Moore's movie. Mr. Conspiracy Theorist himself or whatever.
I don't like Michael Moore.
Yeah, well, that movie was better than this fucking movie. This movie is fucking awful. This is probably the most insulting movie we've watched on this fucking show, to be honest.
Even worse than Disaster Movie?
No, this was more insulting. Wow. The son of a bitch, Paul Greengrass, is going to sit up here and tell me he's telling a story and shit. And it's like, a story about what? Because I asked you that question, and I still didn't get that answer from that, whatever. What is this story about?
Is there... I don't understand. There's no plot. The only plot's about the passengers on United 93. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the story?
You said it right there. Passengers on the United 93. How much time was focused on those passengers?
Out of a 2-hour fucking film.
Yeah, he missed the boat.
This movie opens up with the fucking terrorists praying and shit like that or whatever. So it's like, okay.
It could have been a decent movie, but he focused too much on non-bullshit that does not revolve around the movie.
Such as little green dots on a battleship screen.
Yeah.
Going, fly over. You're gonna hit it or whatever. Oh, where's flight 911? Where's flight 93? Where's it at? Where's United 93? Where's it at? Where's American Line? We got Delta on it. I'm just like, okay, how many? It's been 30 goddamn minutes now.
Is this an independent movie?
No, because Universal brought it out, remember?
I'm just saying, because there's no actors in this movie that I know.
Well, it got released worldwide, not worldwide, but more than enough theaters to be not independent, so it wasn't no limited release or anything like that.
I'm just very curious.
Plus, Greengrass is on it. He don't do independent, so.
But this was, I'm kind of with you, this was kind of a cash grab.
Yeah, because you just said it right there again, there's no actors on here, so obviously, in his mind, I don't have to put actors in here, because you know what? 9/11 sells itself.
They're doing the Sony Spider-Man logic.
I don't even think Sony gets that logic yet, but because they wouldn't have put so much goddamn money into marketing if they thought that logic was true. Let's get into question times now, because goddamn, man, that kind of pissed me off now, to be honest.
Alright.
Passionate about that, and that was bullshit. Ain't nothing worse than when a director tried to cash grab off something like that. That was. I'm sorry, people. That was insulting. Watching that movie. David! He says, what made you take MMA/martial arts, P1? Are you still doing it? Do you plan on competing? Z, have you personally taken any martial arts training?
I was in karate as a kid, and I quit before my black belt test.
Damn, almost everybody I talk to now told me they didn't been in karate as a kid. It's like, did everybody do karate as a kid?
I
wonder if it was because of this movie, too.
I don't remember why I joined karate.
His mom made him join it.
I wasn't bullied or nothing. I don't know. I don't remember why.
He probably just thought it was cool.
I mean, that was when I was, I think, 12, 13, 14, whatever.
So, since you were around this time, did you think that people were signing up because of the movie Karate Kid itself?
It's possible. I mean, I
know a lot of people was trying to do that crane kick.
And failing miserably.
Yeah, failing, hitting trash cans and shit.
I would say probably in the 80s when this got released, kids were like, oh, karate looks so cool.
Yeah.
But now, I think it's all MMA now.
Yeah.
I think you learn more of the defense mechanisms in MMA than you do in martial arts.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, because you take it.
A lot of people like to sit up there and tell you that never taking an MMA class in that day. Oh, it's all about punching another guy or something like that. It's like, no, any class you go to. I've never been to every class, obviously, that's trained you or anything like that and shit like that. But I can sit up there and tell you, I've seen teachers, I've been competing in tournaments or whatever. I don't know not one fucking instructor that'll tell you MMA is all about punching that other guy in the face or whatever. The first thing they'll fucking tell you is about, like you said, defense mechanism and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we saw a movie on here that was all about that, Ip Man.
Yeah.
The Wing Chun technique. That's all defensive mechanism. That's why he's so good at it, because he just practices on defending, and when you have a better defense, you have a stronger offense.
Yeah.
So, and why did I take I don't know, to be honest.
Was it because the movie never backed down?
No, I was in it before that. What that movie come out, like 08, 06?
I think around there.
Yeah, somewhere around that time. I was in it way before that, because that was like when I was out of high school when that movie came out.
Was it because of the whole UFC boom?
No, because UFC, I don't even think that was big at the time and shit. I did that like in middle school. UFC didn't get big, I want to say, after I was out of high school.
I think it got big when Lesnar came in.
And that was like
07?
05?
Was it 05? Was it 05? I was just thinking 06, 07.
You know what? It was, because he did take it, because he left wrestling around that time. So, and it took him like a couple of months, like half a year to get into the UFC.
Yeah, I think that's when it boomed.
Yeah.
And I think UFC is slowly dying out.
I remember I used to watch the promo indie ones or whatever and shit like that back when they didn't have like rules and shit like that. There was no weight class or anything like that. And you
know,
littlest guys taking out the biggest dudes and shit like that or whatever.
I've seen those.
I was taking boxing for a very long time, since I was 10. Well, I was doing it before that, but 10 was when I took it serious, when I had that crazy-ass dad of mine made me do that. And I took it all the way up to, I want to say, my 10th, 11th grade year, and that's when I switched over to MMA. And I do remember why now. It was in my training facility. I saw the guys practicing MMA. They were just getting the MMA equipment and stuff like that. And I looked at it and was just like, that looks interesting. I want to do that or whatever. And I didn't know what it was. I was like, you guys doing karate on there? It was like, oh, it's called mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu and shit like that. And I was like, I want to try that.
Is that what you learned, BJJ?
The what?
The Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Is that what you learned?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I learned it. You know, you get fascinated with stuff, and then when you beat a guy that's bigger than you, you go like, oh, wow, I didn't know you could do stuff like that. Or, you know, and then, I've worked with my trainer a lot back in the day, Mr. Piccanini, which is a funny Brazilian name, whatever. This guy was shorter than me, but, like, he was a Brazilian guy, but he was, like, his body mass was, like, thick as fuck. I was just looking at him like, goddamn. I remember one time I was strapping his tape on his arms and feet and shit like that or whatever, and I was like, dude, look at your foot, dude. Like, look at this shit. It is wide as fuck, dude. I was like, if you kick somebody, you could probably incapacitate them and shit like that, so... I worked with him a lot, and he was just showing me all the, I remember he had one saying, that the more holds and takedowns you know, the more you have winning a fight. So, I spent my goal doing that.
Because you got to control the pace of the fight, right?
Yeah, you really do. That's not to say you shouldn't be on your back all the time. A lot of people think that MMA is just punching another dude.
No, it's not. It is not.
No, that's why whenever someone tells me, like, I bet Floyd Mayweather can go in an MMA cage and knock somebody out. I'm just like, yeah, okay. All right, man. You keep thinking that, then, okay?
No, because he's... He's just a boxer. He has no... You need to know takedowns. You need to know submission moves. You need to know all this stuff. People just think... you need to know a shitload of different classes.
You gotta mix it up. That's why it's called mixed martial art. You gotta mix it up.
What, you need to know boxing, wrestling... Brazilian jiu-jitsu, probably kickboxing too, Muay Thai, there you go, that's a big one.
Whatever. It's a format of every, most people they say that has a wrestling and a, jiu-jitsu background, they're destined to succeed.
Yeah, but there's some guys that are boxers that succeed too.
Yeah, and that's not to say that because they just do boxing, it's because they know other techniques as well. They're not afraid to mix it up and shit like that. You have to use the 9 elements that you are given or whatever, which are your points or whatever, which is your fist, elbow, shoulder, your knee, foot, feet, head. Well, back then it used to be head.
I would say hips, too. Your hips play a big factor in getting out of
Hips play a big part in takedown and shit like that. I'm talking about striking
points. Oh, striking, okay.
Yeah, it used to be head, but then UFC, like Z said, got popular, and they started taking a lot of shit out and stuff like that.
Yeah, it used to be headbutts back in the day.
As far as competing, I tried to, yeah, and I didn't know the new rules with UFC nowadays. Apparently, you can't slap people or headbutt them either, so you can get suspended and lose a lot of points when doing that nowadays. So, yeah, that didn't work out too well for me, not knowing the rules and shit like that, and headbutting the fucker.
Or you can't do the drop a 12-6 elbow in someone's face.
Yeah, you can't put someone in a triangle go-go platter either.
They got rid of that?
Yeah, because apparently that causes lung fracture or something.
Like what?
That. A lot of bullshit. You know, that goes with anything. One thing is they probably take a lot of things out. As far as getting back into doing it, I've already done that, actually. I train a lot now. Well, not as much as I used to, because I had a lot of time. I do whenever I can. I
did tell my fiance the other day I do want to get back into competing by December, though. So I don't know if
that's... that means no more alcohol.
I will see.
That plays a key factor.
We'll see. Well, if that's the case, then never mind. Well, we'll see, though. We'll see how that goes. I do want to get back into it, but time is everything. And
You got to be in the gym about 6-7 hours a day?
Probably more than that. I have the Brazilian guy I usually train with, whatever, whenever I decide to go back into it. That dude is really strict. And by all means, he should be. I'm not going to lie, whatever. But sometimes that motherfucker be putting me down, whatever, whenever I only show up to the gym once a week or something like that. He looks at me and just comes over and gives me shit about it. It was like, you need to be here at least 4 times a week, whatever, for this amount. I was like, I'd like to. I just don't have the time, whatever. I'm usually doing it at home, whatever. That's fine. He was just like, I need to be visible to see it. You want to get serious? Get serious. And he'll punch me or something like that, whatever. and I don't go to anybody else but him.
Yeah, you need total dedication. You pretty much lose your life. Like, boxers, like, they announce a fight, 6-7 months? And those boxers are away from their family for that amount of time just preparing.
I know.
UFC, I'm not positive they do the same thing, but...
Yeah, you watch those things on HBO that they do before a fight or whatever.
The 24/7?
Yeah, and they show, they're like a month at home just relaxing, getting ready. And then the next, like you said, 6 months, they're just straight. They're, in another country somewhere or something like that, just training nonstop.
Yeah, and they have to make weight, and that's a big factor.
Oh, hell yeah, because that fight could be canceled, and then next you know, you'd be like, all that for nothing, and I don't get paid.
Yeah, either, especially if you have a title shot. Mm-hmm. Plus, Dana White, he doesn't fuck around. If you miss weight a few times, he'll fucking fire your ass like Anthony Johnson.
Dana White is not a fuck. He takes that shit serious. I remember I watched Pacquiao's training session. He has a documentary of his training session. That motherfucker trains like a beast.
Well, and he's busy as fuck. He's a governor, isn't he? Or something?
Some shit like that. I forgot, too. But that motherfucker trains like a beast. That motherfucker literally goes to the woods and trains and shit like that. Punching on trees and shit like that. That is like, goddamn.
But what's funny is Mayweather doesn't do shit like that.
No, it's not. Mayweather, and I admire the guy. He says it himself. He's a businessman.
He only cares about the money. That's why his nickname is Money.
He only cares about the money. And I don't hate that brother for that neither, whatever. But I one thing I do hate about him is you can't go around saying you're the greatest fighter ever when all you do is boxing.
No, because fighter is different classes.
Yeah, fighter is a motherfucker in that cage right now punching the shit out of that guy right there. Get in there with him and let me see. Miga Rashad Evans, that guy, I love his background. That was one of the guys I loved when UFC was coming up, whatever and shit. That guy has a great fucking fighting background. He has a wrestling background from high school. He's a boxing, jiu-jitsu, takedown specialist. I was just like, man. And he was undefeated for a long ass time until he lost to that Asian dude. I forgot his name. So he kicked the shot of that guy. But yeah, his background, man, it was impressive.
Even though I'm a big fan of St. Pierre.
Yeah.
But he is very boring in the cage.
Yeah, I'll tell you, once a sport gets popular like that, whatever, it just gets boring. I haven't watched UFC in a while.
Well, it's on every fucking weekend. There's a fucking card every weekend now.
I was about to say every weekend, shit. Almost even on Spike Channel, almost every, Monday and shit?
It's on FX now.
Oh, FX, they show shit like that all the time as well. So I mean, there's always some MMA shit going on and stuff like that. So, I mean, and to be honest, it's not even interesting no more or whatever. I think they took
No, when Lesnar left, I kind of stopped watching it. But with Silva coming back, I think January, and GSP's out for a while, I don't... All the guys that I used to watch are not there no more.
Yeah.
There's so many new names, I have no idea who they are.
You're not interested either. You're not missing
anything. No, they don't have... I mean, GSP, he has personality. Silva's got personality. BJ Penn. These guys are like gods in the UFC world. They fight maybe once a year.
Friends with The Rock.
Yeah, they fight once a year. Penn might be retired. I don't know.
That's all they have to do is fight once a year. Like you said, they're gods.
Yeah. That's why wrestling's better. That's why WWE is more entertaining.
too bad they're losing money.
True.
Which is sad factor to see, but I'm sure if anybody can do it, it's Mr. Vinny.
Yeah.
That man's still alive.
Yes, he is.
That dude ain't never gonna die. There are some old people that's never gonna not. Hugh Hefner, Vince McMahon. Never gonna die. Okay. You know, the same can go for wrestling, too. They use the same stars over and shit like that or whatever, and I think the same goes for a lot of sports these days and shit. And I think after many of years, you kind of have to keep switching it up and doing something more entertaining, whether it's UFC, MMA, or wrestling itself and shit like that. Yeah, because I don't know if you know, people get bored seeing the same shit, especially when it's on every week.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, because it's all, like, right now it's all about John Cena.
Yeah. Okay, I don't watch wrestling that much, but when I do watch it, isn't it always, though?
For the past 10 years, he's like the new Hulk Hogan. I swear to God, he's like the new Hulk Hogan.
And I remember in the Attitude Era, back when The Rock and all of them, it wasn't, that was the thing about the Attitude, it wasn't just about one guy. Everybody loved Stone Cold, but you could see an Undertaker versus Mankind match, and you could still be like, that was the greatest match of all time. Didn't involve that guy or whatever, but it was still a good match right there and shit. And nowadays, it seems to be revolving around that one guy, and I think that's where, that's probably why it's losing money, to be honest.
I think
the kids may be still up for it, but some of the adults like you, or the other diehard fans or whatever, share probably looking like, I like it still, but yeah, I'm not rushing to see it. It's like, if I'm free, I'll watch it, you know?
Yeah.
Or am I bullshitting, Z?
No, but I still watch it. I got the network, so.
Which, that network is failing from what I'm hearing.
Oh, it's amazing, though.
Yeah, too bad they was expecting a higher number, but it only got 600,000 subscribers, so.
Yeah.
they say it's costing them money. They had to fire like 11 or 12 stars, some shit like that, whatever. I was like, yeah, you know why? Because you're not giving them nothing to do, whatever. Once again, what's that guy's name you just named off?
Cena?
Yeah, Cena, whatever. Yeah, you had to hype him up by bringing The Rock back, because that was the only way I watched that match at WrestleMania, was by watching The Rock. It's like, yeah, keep giving this guy more publicity instead of giving your other talent publicity. I like that.
That's why I think in the mid-90s, that's why WWE was going like almost out of business, because they all focused around Bret Hart and no one else. And that's when the Attitude Era came, and that's what rejuvenated WWE.
Yeah, and it looks like it's about to go through that same transition again or whatever.
Yeah, it's because they're worried because they need to make money off people, and they don't think these people are marketable. Like, they got rid of CM Punk's not around anymore, and that's the shame.
That's bullshit!
I mean, Undertaker's not around no more.
Punk was one of the best. He was an actual wrestler.
Yeah, and that's a no-no word on WWE. It's superstar.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're right. Yeah, they did take that away. You can't use that word wrestler or whatever. And CM Punk would always break that by saying wrestler.
But they just think, it's anytime they're in a bad ratings or whatever, throw the belt on Cena.
Jesus Christ. All right, well, you know, a big company like that, you need to get away from that because, you know, those kids that are fans of it, they're going to grow up eventually and then they're going to be like, you know, that guy's boring, actually.
And it's the same character. I mean, back when Cena was the rapper, do you remember that shit?
I remember that shit, yeah.
That shit was cool.
I had a lot of friends talking about that shit.
And
what was it, the spinner belt?
Yeah, and now he's been the same character forever, and he doesn't change.
I thought they were trying to do that, because I watched a little bit when The Rock came back. I thought they were trying to do that a little bit between when The Rock kept bringing it up and stuff. I was like, oh, people gonna turn on seeing that, because, you know, the Rock is here. Everybody loves The Rock. Everybody fucking loves The Rock. You can't. You smell what his electricity is cooking. God damn it.
Yeah, but UFC is different because it's not scripted, as far as we know.
Oh, they're fixed though. Andrew. He says, "I hated the remake mainly because James Smith was a part of it. Why do you guys think that one though didn't work as well as the original did? Because that shit was a fantasy. That's why."
I think he said the reason why.
Fantasy. I'm sorry, but the plot of that is already, when you open up the movie by explaining to me that these kids in China have dedicated their lives to martial arts, they live, breathe, eat shit martial arts. It's almost like that funny stereotype that Americans make of, oh, Chinese, you know, all they do is martial arts and shit like that. This movie actually portrayed that and showed that these kids don't fuck around or whatever, and that they're breaking stones and shit like that. There is no denying their Chinese heritage or anything like that. And you mean tell me this little bastard, Jaden Smith, they moved to China, and in a matter of a week, he beats the top 20 kids in the country? kids that have dedicated their lives to it. I was like, I'm not to say that that's possible, but the way to beat them, the way he was doing it, I'm just like, that's some bullshit right there. Come on now.
And I haven't seen the remake, but I watched, when we were talking about it, I watched the YouTube of the final fight. I'm like, that is fucking bullshit, fucking Matrix thing.
Whenever he did that flip, I was just like, wow.
It's, the reason why is because Jaden Smith can't act.
Well, thing was, too, Jackie Chan didn't show that motherfucker how to do no flip or nothing like that.
He looked surprised.
He was just looking like, he looked like everybody in Transformers 4 when Optimus flied off. So he's just like, damn, I can't even do that shit. How the fuck did you do that?
And Will Smith produced this movie. And anything Will Smith's going to produce, we know who's going to be the fucking star of that movie.
I thought the original one was more toned down and realistic, if anything.
Yeah.
It was just it really was a karate mall dojo. Learn karate. You didn't see nobody in that fucking that tournament doing flips or nothing like that, flying around and shit like that. Jaden Smith did some Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon shit.
He did.
And you just looking at that like, when the fuck did he learn that? I mean, even Ralph Macchio didn't do no shit like that. The most he did was a goddamn crane kick.
That he saw Miyagi do in the distance. Yeah,
that ain't that hard to do. I mean, Jackie Chan just told Jaden Smith about I forgot what that movie was called, the snake thing. He just told him, he's like, you can do the snake thing or whatever and shit like that. And this motherfucker knew the pose for it and everything like that. I just look at him like, wow, he mastered that in fucking what these Chinese kids who practice all their lives. It's amazing.
But, no, this, well,
I think the movie makes a mistake by going to China in the first movie. Let's say
that. Well, yeah, because it's kind of a remake of the second one.
Yeah, and the second one, which was so great about it, is that the first one, like we said in the review, that really was some tournament bullshit. When he got to China in the second one, that's when that tournament shit was off. And he realized, Miyagi kept telling him, this is real life right here. In this one, with the Jaden Smith one, they jump right into that, and you're just like, I don't feel that this character has learned a damn thing.
Yeah, and I think The Karate Kid, nobody was asking for a remake of that movie.
No.
It's like Back to the Future. People are going to hate that movie if they remade it today.
Except for me.
It depends.
Depends on how good it is, because I think you can make a good Back to the Future movie if the effects were up to date and everything.
So, well, if Jaden Smith was the star of it?
I don't know about that now. You have to get the original Doc Brown, though, I'd say that, because that motherfucker was an animated character himself.
I think, is he dead?
No, he's alive still. He's still in Piranha movies.
He was in the Seth MacFarlane movie.
He was also in Oogie Love, the movie I saw when I had to come see you, so, yeah.
I love that have that movie, like, tied into when you came out here.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of things tied in when I came out here, because I got stuck in Chicago, people, which, by the way, almost CM Punk, and they will let you fucking know that too, because I swear to God, there's a fucking store. I went to this pizza place, whatever, and they got a pizza called the GTS Slice. They got everything of that motherfucker on the walls and shit. I'm just like, God damn, dude, this dude is loved out here. It's even in the movie theater and shit.
He's like the Michael Jordan out there.
Hell yeah. So he's like the LeBron of Cleveland, you know? Shit.
Now.
in the past, well, not in the middle day. Last question I got, this is funny right here, from Tony. Last question here is, wonder how Z feels about the Forrest Gump returning to theaters in September.
It's gonna bomb.
How's the movie gonna bomb and it already made money, man?
What are they doing to it?
I think it's just on IMAX, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
when did that movie come out? Why is it September?
I want to say 92. Or 94. I don't think so.
What is so prominent of releasing it back in September?
Because nobody goes to movies in September.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It came out July 6, 94.
Okay, nowhere near September. Okay. The last re-releases have been doing well, which was Jurassic Park and Lion King especially did fucking well.
Didn't Titanic do pretty well?
What was that?
Didn't Titanic do pretty well?
Titanic did pretty well as well. I even went to go see it because my sister wanted to go see it and think she loves that fucking movie. So I took her to go see it.
We saw it in there. Plus, I wanted to see it in 3D, too, because James Cameron was working on it. He's like, I almost got to see a James Cameron 3D film. Jurassic Park I saw again, or whatever. Lion King I did not go see, and that was the one that did the best. I think that one even came in number one at the box office, too. It was like...
That shit's amazing.
That shit made a lot of fucking money coming back. I remember that shit. I was like, God damn.
I'm looking at what's coming out in September. What time? What day is it coming out?
You know what? I don't know. September 9th. I did hear about this, but I don't remember a date for it. I just remember September the month.
Not seeing Equalizer. Maybe the best movie coming out in September. Or Horns. I'm hearing a lot of good things about Horns, but... yeah, I don't see anything coming out that's really good.
Okay, well...
There's your album movie.
Does people love Forrest Gump? I mean, I don't... Like, Lion King, Titanic, and Jurassic Park, I can understand those. Lion King was a well-loved animated film by Disney that everybody... If you don't know Disney's animated, I bet you know Lion King. That's one movie you can go ahead and quote that. I bet you know that movie. Titanic, one of the highest grossing films of all time, and James Cameron's gone, so why wouldn't he release it, especially with his new 3D technology? Jurassic Park... Don't like Jurassic Park. Come on now.
It's true. Who doesn't like him?
Yeah, I've yet to meet one person that does not like Jurassic Park. You don't like Jurassic Park. You're a fucking dickhead, then probably. Forrest Gump. I don't know the reason behind that. Now, like, is it like Tom Hanks' birthday or something?
Yeah, and like, was people asking like, you know, we haven't seen Forrest Gump in a theater in forever.
There was an article behind it. I remember I saw it in the LA Times. I didn't read it, though. I just saw September. I was like, oh, when does this come back? Oh, September. Okay. I don't know if they know, but that shit's on Netflix, so you don't really have to re-release it at the theaters and shit. It'll be interesting to see what that does. I mean, personally, I don't see the reason why you need to see that back on the theaters, though. Like, those movies I just named off, there's a particular good reason of going to go back to see those in theater. You want to see how the remastered version on the new technology we have looks for Jurassic Park. Lion King, that's like, obviously you want to take your kids to one of the best animated films of all time, unless people claim it, not me, people. Titanic, like I said, James Cameron 3D technology, I mean, why wouldn't you go check that out? I mean, so, I just see no reason why Forrest Gump, like all the movies ever, why that one. I mean, I would have even seen Back to the Future before Forrest Gump. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, was Back to the Future released?
Not that I know of. I know it got that beautiful Blu-ray edition, but other than that, no, I don't remember any Back to the Future, because I know I'd have been at that motherfucker.
Yeah, it's kind of wondering, why. Star Wars was, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All the fucking prequels and shit. That's right, yeah, I think the second one comes out this year, right? Because the first one was last year, so... Or did we already do the second one?
I think we did do the second one.
Okay, I don't remember. Yeah, so the prequels got re-released as well. And I don't remember how those did, but I think they did okay as well. So, I mean,
I don't know what movies have been re-released. It seems weird why they're doing this. It's kind of like Hollywood can't come up with anything new. I think they did Blade Runner, Apocalypse Now. Mm-hmm. It's just... It seems like they're not shoving it down our throats. They're like, we're not seeing anything new besides 3D or IMAX.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I still had a good time watching Titanic and Jurassic Park.
And what Jurassic Park was just...
last year.
It was 3D, right?
Was it April or...
I think it was April.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Was it 3D, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the reason behind Forrest Gump or whatever. I didn't know people was crazy about that film like everybody seemed to be. A lot of people actually like absolutely love that film or whatever. So I know Z hates it.
Oh, I don't like it. I find it boring as fuck.
I can say this right now, it's better than the fucking book. I know that for a fact. That book is horrible.
There's a book?
Yeah, it's based off a book. Yeah, that book is horrible.
Is it a pop-up book?
It might as well be. The book is fucking god awful. Like, I don't remember the book, but I remember I had it when I was a kid, and I remember my grandma had the movie, and I remember why I was like, yeah, that's a movie of this shit, and I was like, oh, and the movie is nothing from the book, and it's actually much better.
So from that range, it's better. But I know people love the film. Like, it's a fucking... It needs to be re-released in theaters or something like that. So I'm shocked by that, to be honest.
It's... it's not... I'm not saying it's, like, terrible. It's just I found it boring. And I find it, like, unrealistic that, you know, he's a main part in all these fucking stories. You know, meeting the president. He meeting, like, what, three different presidents?
Well, it is from a book that ain't real, so. You know, it is a fantasy, if anything.
Yeah, it's an epic romantic comedy drama.
And he's retarded, so you can't knock him for being retarded and doing all these great things.
Yeah, he can be, like, he's, like, the next Elvis because he can swing his hips. He's
he was Elvis before Elvis was Elvis, if I'm not mistaken.
He's an all-American football player.
That's probably why people like that movie, though, is because of all the events that happened in it that he was a part of. I think it's just a traveling storytelling movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, people love that shit. But anyway, people, that's the end of Throwback Tuesday, episode 61. I'm the Phenomenal One, MovieSportsPodcast.com.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com.
And I had to take a piss, so we will catch you people next week. Later, bastard.
See ya.